Nefesh HaChaim, and we're in chapter 5, Nefesh HaChaim. The soul is a reflection of Hashem. So the question is, how do we understand that? What we talked about earlier, last week, we said how a person's actions can increase bracha in this world. And that's what we say, a bracha. When you say a bracha, you're asking God to increase blessing. Because we said the word Baruch is not an adjective of Hashem. It's not an adjective of Hashem. Baruch means we're asking Hashem to increase bracha. Baruch atah Hashem. Hashem, you're the one who can increase bracha. And you should increase bracha in the world. So we, by saying a bracha, can increase brachot. So how does that work? How does the person, when they say a bracha, how does the person say it does a mitzvah, they increase bracha in this world? How does it work? What is the mechanism? So he said, let's turn to the Gemara in Brachot Daf Yud. That's what I have before me. The Gemara in Brachot Daf Yud. And the Gemara in Brachot Daf Yud says an amazing thing. It compares Hashem to the soul. It compares Hashem to the soul. Not that there's any comparison. It's a little minute comparison. Right? And the other comparison it says, you remember the Torah says? It says, by a person who is killed, capital punishment. Torah says, "Lo talin liblatu al ha'etz." You're not allowed to leave his body hanging on the tree at night. You have to take it down straight away. Before dark, you have to take it down. Why? Kilat elokim talui. It's like it's a curse of God. It's like this, the form of God is hanging over this. Obviously, has v'sharam, God has a body, but it's a little kind of remez. The human body hints to a higher form. Not Hashem, Hashem, Shalom, Hashem is nobody. But it's the higher form, the form of the Sefirot, other things. But, so there's a little bit of a hint. It's the same thing the Gemara says over here. Shimon Papazi says, there are 5 comparisons between a person's soul and Hashem. Not to be taken literally. Don't take it literally. You can't compare a soul to Hashem. But there's 5 ways you can hint. The soul hints to Hashem. There are 5 different ways. So, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. He, Rabbi Shimon bar Ukva, Omar Ukva, said to Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Ana hachi ka min alach. I would have asked you, why does it say these 5 verses? There's 5 verses. I just want to quote you these verses. These pesukim are in Tehillim, in Psalms. And the first verse is in Psalm 103, verse 1. Le David barachi nafshit Adonai v'chol kerovai et shem kocho. David Amel says, Hashem, my soul bless Hashem. My soul will bless you, Hashem. And all my innards will bless you, Hashem. Bless His holy name. And he continues, Barachi nafshit Hashem. My soul will bless Hashem. V'al tishkeki kol gemalav. And do not forget any of Hashem's benefits that He did for me. So those two psukim, right? David HaMelech is saying, my soul will bless you, Hashem. My soul will bless you, Hashem. Twice he says, my soul will bless you, Hashem. And then later on, in the same psalm, Psalm 103, in verse 20, he says, Baruchu Hashem Malachav, Giborei Koach, Oseh Devaro Lishmo Bekol Devaro. This is on verse 20. Bless Hashem, His angels, whose mighty in strength and perform His word, to hearken to the voice of His word. Who's going to bless Hashem? The angels. He's asking Hashem, the angels, to bless Hashem. The next passage, he says, Baruchu Hashem Kol Tzva'av, may all the hosts, all the angels, the massive amount of angels in the worlds above, bless Hashem. His ministers who do His will. And then he says, Barachin Afshid Hashem, Hashem Rahai Gadatimil. This is Psalm 104, this is what we say in Rosh Chodesh. The first line of Psalm 104, Barachin Afshid Hashem, may my soul bless Hashem, Hashem, you are very great. May my soul should bless Hashem, my soul, Hashem, you are very great. Okay. So 5 different ways, 3 out of 5 verses, he says, my soul should bless Hashem. 2 verses says, the angels should bless Hashem. Okay, those are the 5 verses which the Gemara in Brachot comments on. So the Gemara says, there are 5 verses corresponding to Hashem's attributes that is shared by the human soul. You can compare Hashem's attributes. You can't compare there's Hashem's essence we talked about last week. There's the essence of Hashem and the attributes of Hashem. Now, I don't want to even divide because you can't really divide the two. You can't really divide it. It's very dangerous. That's the trouble with learning Kabbalah. If you learn trouble with Kabbalah, you start taking it literally. Hashem is one, and then the attributes are different, then it's not. Where's the unity of Hashem? And the answer is no, the attributes are part of Hashem, which He built as a mechanism for us to be able to recognize Him. But it's part of Hashem. It's part of Hashem. But it's not the essence of Hashem. There's the essence, and then there's the other things around. But it's all one. Everything is one, which is hard to understand. Everything is one. There's no pirut. There's no divisions in God. There's no divisions in God. So, but five times it says about the soul blessing God. Three times it says the soul will bless God. And then it says two times it says the angels will bless God. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi says there's five attributes which are said shared by the human soul. Five attributes of God is shared by the human soul. What are they? Number one. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Maleh Kol HaOlam, just like Hashem fills up the whole universe. Af HaNeshama Maleh Kol HaGuf. The soul of a person fills up the whole human body. Where's a person's soul? All over the person's body. How do we know it's in the human body? All over the human body, because if the soul is not there, the body will die. That part of the body will die. A person has a leg amputated, it means that part of the soul wasn't there. It died. The limb dies. Limb dies because the soul is not there. Number two. So one comparison is just like Hashem fills up the universe, a person's soul fills up the body, or vice versa. Yeah. Number two. Just like Hashem, you can't see Him, but He can see you. The soul can't be seen, but the soul sees. Our souls can see more than we can see. Only trouble is, we don't communicate with our soul. That's the trouble. If we knew how to communicate with our soul, we'd be prophets. That's what means a prophet and non-prophet. A prophet knows how to communicate with his soul, because his soul can see things that we can't see. So he knows, my soul can see things I can't see. Why? I'm not in touch with my soul. That's being a prophet and non-prophet. A prophet is in touch, so we have to learn how to communicate with our soul. David HaMelech called his soul Biti, my daughter. Yeah, he calls his soul, and my daughter. It's a form of speaking. You know, how do you speak to your daughter? Very sweetly, softly, calmly, nicely. He's speaking to his soul, like my daughter's talk to me. You know, it's a form of speech. That person's got to talk to themselves, in a sense. Talk to the soul, try and communicate my soul. My soul talking to me. My soul, I want my soul to talk to me. One of the biggest problems today is we don't know how to focus on ourselves. We're busy with other things. We always want to be entertained. We want to always look at other things and this person, that person. We don't talk to ourselves.
There's a little voice inside when you know something is not good.
Yes, exactly. It's conscience. That's the conscience, the voice of the soul. That's the soul. Well, the Torah calls the Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination. The bad inclination, the good inclination. The good inclination is the soul. It's all talking to a person. But we have to be in tune. So most people say, shut up. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear guilt, conscience. I don't want to hear, go quiet. Or they go to the psychologist. I got a problem. Like I feel guilty. The psychologist says, don't worry. It's okay. It'll go away. So they don't teach you how to deal with the guilt. And therefore a person doesn't know how to talk to their soul. They shut their soul up. The soul says, don't do it. It's wrong. Keep quiet. It's fine. I'll be alright. So we shut up the soul. The soul is the good inside us, telling us to do the right thing. And we keep it quiet. We keep the soul quiet. We shut up the soul. So that's how we shut it up. So a person's going to say, speak to me. Tell me what to do. Had a guy here, Sadiq. He's a Sadiq. What happened was, he backed into a car. Made a little dent. Says, Rabbi, what should I do? I don't know. Jew, non-Jew. I said, what difference does it make? Jew, non-Jew, what difference does it make? It's in his parking lot of his building. So there's a car there. It's an old car. So is it noticeable? It's a little bit. It's noticeable. He's scared stiff now. They're going to give him a big bill now. Fix the car. But it's a tiny little dent. But it could cost hundreds of dollars. You know. So one day he goes looking for the owner of the car. Suddenly this guy. He goes. He knocks on the door next door. He says, do you have the car? And it's an old lady and she doesn't drive. But her caretaker, who's looking after her, says, it's my car. He tells her, by the way, I made a big little dent in the dent, so please, it's only a tiny little dent, I hope you don't mind. She said, God bless you. She wasn't Jewish. God bless you, you're honest. No problem. Made a Kiddush Hashem. It's beyond, going beyond, it's amazing. So it's very important to, that's the soul. He can sleep. Maybe I owe the money, I dented the car. How many people would do that? How do you go look for the person who dented the car? Yeah, they don't know. No one's around. No police. No this. No pictures. No movies. No this. Fine. Let's get out of here as soon as possible. So that's the conscience. The conscience says, he can't sleep. Maybe I dented. Maybe I owe the money. That's very high level. It's a very high level to do these things. Very high level. It's very hard to do these things. So that's a person who's communicating with the soul. So number one, he said, is just like the Hashem fills the universe, the soul fills our body. Number two is just like Hashem can see, and we can't see him. The soul can see, but we can't see the soul. The soul knows what's going on, but we can't see the soul.
Did Hashem reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu?
Of course. He revealed, not just to Moshe Rabbeinu, he revealed himself to all the Jewish people at Sinai.
Really?
The Rambam says Judaism is different from all the other religions. Why? All the other religions are based on revelation to one person, or 12 people, or 13 people. Islam is based on Muhammad and his donkey had revelation. Who went up with Muhammad to the mountain? Muhammad and his donkey. Who had revelation? Muhammad had revelation. One person comes down, I saw this. God appeared to me. The angel, actually wasn't, he said it wasn't God, it was the angel Gabriel. Gabriel came and spoke to Muhammad in his cave on the mountain. And JC, maybe him and the 12, say maximum 13 people had revelation. That's it. Judaism, revelation of the masses. 600,000 men, between 20 and 50, and women, 600,000 women, and then children, old people, you have about 3 million people. Imagine, seeing God. But they couldn't take it. It's awesome. They died, it says. They died and then be revived. Because we're not geared to see Hashem. We can't comprehend. It doesn't mean you saw Hashem. You can't see Hashem. Hashem made a revelation.
I read one time when the guys speak in the moment, the hearts of the soul coming out.
Yeah. They couldn't. That's right. They couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. Yeah. The soul came out. And the angel had to push it back in. Wow. Revive them. Because we're not ready for it. We're scary. Awesome. Just awesome. Just awesome. Holiness. Just awesome.
Can we hold it? It'll be on that level.
Wait and see. Let's wait and see. But, you know, that's what it says. Hine anochi sholeach lachem. Et Eliyahu Navi. The Shabbat HaGadol coming in 2 weeks. The Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol is, I'm going to send you, Lefnei bo yom Hashem, HaGadol v'anora. Before, it's going to be an awesome day. It's called HaGadol v'anora. I'm going to send you Eliyahu Navi. I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before that. What's Elijah the prophet going to do? Rav Kaplan says, he's going to teach us how to meditate, how to have prophecy. Before we see Hashem, how are you going to see Hashem? You don't see Hashem with your eyes. It's not a visual thing. It's a mental thing. It's the eye of the soul.
So is there another reason why we say...
Remember when I was a kid? When I was a kid, my father used to tell us, one day we're going to have an eye over here. So what do we mean? We're talking about an eye over here. The answer is the eye of the mind. We visualize things in the mind. So some people have very good imaginations. They can see things in them. You know, they're very, very spiritual. They can actually see things in their head. Your mother will have a problem. And that's the idea. The idea is we can. It's a meditative thing. Eliyahu Navi will come teach us before the great day why it's going to be awesome. This is your question. The answer to your question, Ari. It's going to be an awesome sight. I mean, we can't even imagine. But he's going to teach us how to tune in. Because what happens is, right now, there's many things going on we can't even see. It's around us. There's a beautiful story. It's one of the Midrashim about Shlomo Melech. So Shlomo Melech, he needed a little worm called a shamir to carve out rock. He wanted to cut the caution stones or some other kind of stones in the Beit HaMikdash. You can't use metal. So there's a little worm called a shamir. This is where Shamir got his name from. Shamir. Like a crack rock. A tough guy. Crack rock. Shamir.
Small and tough.
Small and tough. Right. Small exactly. Yeah. So interesting. So, he said, no one knows where it is. Where's the Shamir? He said, there's only one guy who knows. The king of the demons. This is a midrash. Don't take it literally, please. The king of demons. Whatever. I'm not going to say his name. And he knows. So he sends his messenger to General Benayahu Ben Yoyada. A very big general. He gives them a name with God's name on it. To go capture the general. With this name of God, you'll be able to have control over it. He goes, anyway, the story, I'm not going to give you the whole story. Catches the demon, puts a chain around him, iron chain, metal chain. He has Hashem's name right there. Follow me. Follow the demon. And the demon can destroy him anytime he wants. But the name of Hashem is just stopping him. So they pass a few things. And the demon, they see a magician over there. And a magician over there is doing magic tricks. Right, he's doing magic tricks. And the demon starts laughing and laughing and laughing. Until everyone got so sick of it, they ran away. So he said, why do you ruin his tricks? He said, because he pretends he knows how to do magic, and he doesn't know that he's standing on top of buried treasure. Right under his feet is buried treasure. And there's so many things around us, we have no idea what's going on. You know, it says, there's a true story, this happened with Gutnik. You know Gutnik? There's a very rich man in Australia called Gutnik. He made a fortune in gold. He came to the Rebbe of Lubavitch. It's a true story. He came to the Rebbe of Lubavitch with a map. Imagine. You know the story? He came to the Rebbe of Lubavitch with a map. He says, where do I dig? Here's a map of Australia. I have this property over here. Where is the gold? The Rebbe says, over here, right here. He went back, became multi-millionaire. His name is all over. Gutnik building in Hebron especially. He gave a lot of money to Hebron. So, we don't use the soul. We just are not in touch. People in touch with their soul have perspectives that we can't see. There's many things around us we can't see. Probably go mad if we see this. We can see the angels. You can see the angels protecting you. The angels again. Famous story. Elisha, Navi. Elisha, the prophet. Right? It says the Syrians came and surrounded him. They tried to capture him. Because he was always relaying information to the king. The Syrians are coming. This one's coming. The king already had information. So I want to capture this guy. This Elisha. Let's capture him. Send his troops surrounding Elisha. And his servant is with Elisha. His servant's trembling. He said, Elisha, we're finished. Thousands of men around us with horses, chariots, everything. Elisha says, you don't see? He says, I don't see. We'll see what? You don't see the angels around us? He said, no. Hashem, open his eyes, let him see. We gave him the power to see. He's not scared anymore. So that's the part we can't see. There's things we can't see in this world. That's what we have to understand. So the soul can see, we can't see. That's what we're saying over here. Number two is, Hashem can see, we can't see Hashem. The soul can see, we can't see the soul. Number three. Just like Hashem nourishes the whole world, so the soul nourishes the whole body. And that's the danger when a person starves their soul. When you see people, they get depressed. Yeah. What happens? They get depressed. They don't eat. Why are they depressed? Because the soul is starving. If the soul is starving, the body gets weak and the body starves. It's direct correlation. So it's very important to feed the soul. What we're doing now is feeding the soul. We're feeding the soul. Number four. Just like Hashem is pure, the soul is also pure. Elokai neshama shenatata bi Torah. Just like Hashem is pure, the soul is pure. And lastly, number five. Just like Hashem is inside everything. In other words, concealed inside this, whatever that means. It's concealed in layers and layers and layers. Where is God? I see the sky, I see the stars, I see the sun. Where is God? It's concealed behind another river. And then behind that is the universe. Where is the universe inside? The word for universe is olam. Olam is from the word le'alem, to hide. Hashem is hidden in this world. So too the soul is hidden. You hear the scientists looking for the soul, they're laughing in your face. Where is the soul? Where's the soul? We can't measure the soul. Soul is hidden. You can't measure Hashem, you can't measure the soul. Five things. Let's do those five again. Beautiful. Five things over here. The comparison between the soul and Hashem. Now don't take it literally. There's no comparison. The soul is tiny microcosm. So number one is, just like Hashem fills the whole world, the human soul fills the whole human body. Just like Hashem can see, but you can't see Hashem, so too the soul can see, but you can't see the soul. Just like Hashem nourishes the whole world, so the soul nourishes the whole body. Just like Hashem is pure, the soul is pure. Just like the Hashem is hidden in different layers and layers and layers, so the soul. Then he ends off. This is the conclusion. Yavo mi sheyesh bo chamisha dvarim halalu, v'yishbach lemi sheyesh bo chamishim halalu. Let the soul which has these five attributes praise God who has these five attributes. That's what David HaMelech is saying. Barachi nafshi et Hashem. Let my soul praise Hashem. Because the soul is a small microcosm of Hashem. So the soul praise Hashem. So now we ask you the question. The question was, how do we, by saying a bracha, increase energy in this world? How do we increase blessing in the world? And the answer is, David HaMelech tells us. Because the soul is a microcosm of God. And the soul's job is to praise God. And when the soul praises God, we increase blessing in the world. Okay.
Didn't you say something historically, like when your prayer may not, if you pray from the heart, your prayers may not be answered.
Yes, 100%.
At that time, but on Hashem's time.
100%. The prayer is never wasted. No one's prayer is ever wasted. It may not even be used for you. It may be used for someone else. It may be used for your children, your grandchildren. Prayer is hanging there. It can go generations. It goes to someone else who needs a need. A person prays. We don't realize that prayer could help someone else in need. Hashem says, this guy won't get it, but the other guy will get it. That prayer will work for someone else. That's why it's good to be pray in a very generous mood. I'm praying for myself, but Hashem, use the prayer. You know, it's interesting. We say in the Shemona Esrei, "V'ten chalkenu mahem." Al tzadikim, al chasdim, al shvita, al chavei Israel. Praying for the righteous. We say, "Put our portion with them. Give our portion to them." So Arizal says an amazing thing. He says, when a person sins, Hashem takes away his portion of the world to come. He can lose a portion. So we pray to Hashem, please, Hashem, give it to a tzaddik, ten al kenu mahem, who will give back to me when I want it. Who's not greedy and say, you know what? Hashem gave me your portion. Too bad. Get out of here. It's not yours anymore. It's mine. Give our portion to them, to the tzaddikim, who will give back to us. There are people like that. Yeah. It's not mine. I'll give back to you. So very deep. Very deep idea. So we say in the Shemona Esrei, very deep ideas. So this is a prayer that we're using for times of we need. But all the prayers are answered. The question is who for? That's why our prayers are in the plural. You pray Shemona Esrei in the plural for everyone. Everyone who needs security should have security. Everyone who needs health should have health. Refayinu Hashem v'rafeh for everyone. Pray for everyone. Pray for all of Klal Yisrael. So, that's what we're saying a little bit. How do you increase Hashem's energy in this world? When you bless, when the soul blesses Hashem, Hashem is, the energy starts radiating. Because the soul is a little bit of a drop of it. So our awareness of Hashem is the result of our awareness of the soul. Through the soul we can be aware of Hashem. Okay. And also the worlds above, also, if you look at the body, as we said about the person being hung, says when you hang the person who's capital punishment, you have to take down his body. It's amazing. Jewish law. No one else does this. No one else did this in those days. If you go to the Tower of London, they put the heads of the people on the pikes and stick it over there forever, ever. The skulls will be hanging on the pikes. Imagine. Judaism says, no, you killed someone, bury them the same day. And that applies not just killing someone. Someone dies. You bury them the same day. Why? It's not allowed to keep the body overnight. You don't keep the body overnight. Try best to bury the person the same day. Especially in Israel, they bury the body the same day. Say 24 hours. Within 24 hours, the body's buried. The guy dies 10 p.m., he's buried at 1 p.m. It's wild. Why? Straight. So the body also, so the soul also hints to God. The body hints to God, doesn't hint to God, it hints to the Sefirot. The soul also hints to God. So Hashem's true being is extended throughout and fills all the worlds, but it's concealed in all the worlds. So too the soul of the person is concealed in our bodies. The Rambam says, it's interesting, Rambam, this is Morei Nevuchim, Guide to the Perplexed. The Rambam wrote a book, Philosophy. He says, look at this, says, the entire universe is nothing but one single being. The entire universe is one being. The variety of substances is like the various limbs and organs of a human being. So you have plants, it's like the arm, like a finger maybe. You have insects, another finger. You have birds, another finger, like a person's. And then he says, just like a human being is created by God, the whole universe is created by God. And therefore, God is called the life of the soul, of the universe. So God is called the life of the universe. As it says in Daniel chapter 12, he swore by the life of the universe. Who is the life of the universe? Hashem is the life of the universe. So what keeps the universe alive? Just like the soul keeps the body alive, Hashem keeps the universe alive. The universe is like the body of God. Possibly, you know. Just give an analogy. So Hashem is within the universe. You know, we say in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is the place, blessed be He. Where's the place? We call Hashem the place of the world. So it's not like Hashem is inside the universe. The universe is inside Hashem. Hashem is the place of the world.
Wait, the universe is inside of Hashem?
Yeah, of course. Hashem is bigger than everything. So the universe is a little piece inside Hashem. Hashem's everywhere. We don't realize we're inside Hashem. Everything's inside Hashem. We're only existing because Hashem wills us to exist. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. You ever had a dream? We had a dream over here. A very lifelike dream. A dream. Lifelike dream. In your dream, are those things alive or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're vivid.
Of course, they're vivid, they're alive.
Yeah.
When you stop dreaming, what happens to them?
They go away.
They die. You gave them life, you take away their lives.
Wow.
Think about it. On some level, they're alive because you dream about them.
Yeah.
Now think about Hashem dreaming about us. What keeps us going is Hashem's dream.
Mm.
Let there be this. He's painting a picture. Mm. Let there be this. Let there be that. The picture's there. He's an artist. He made the picture. And the picture is not just a picture. Can you imagine a picture? You can make a picture that makes alive. Well, it's like a movie already.
Yeah.
A picture that's alive, but it's the real. You're making it, creating your head.
Yeah, but Hashem
created the world.
But like my the way I look at what you just said, immediately it came to mind. Hashem has it done already for me. I can only speak for me. My picture's done. Hashem knows the ending.
Of course,
I know.
He knows the ending. That's why you have free choice. You have free choice, even though he knows the ending.
Yeah.
That's Rambam's question. How do you have free choice? And the answer is because you don't know what the ending is going to be, but you have to try your best to get to the right ending. But the truth is, you can change your destiny. We believe, Jews believe, we can change our destiny. How? Tefillah, tzedakah, and?
Teshuvah.
Very good. Three things. Som, kol, mamon. Som, kol, mamon, fasting, there's teshuvah. Kol, which is prayer. Mamon is tzedakah. Three things we can change our destiny. So we can change our destiny, we can change our... Even though a person has a certain end plan, a person can change it. So that end plan is true if we don't change it. That's what it says. En mazal Israel. There's no luck for Jews. Our prayers can change our luck. We can change even the astrology of the Jew can change based on prayer. So Hashem is hidden through the world. And the entire universe is one being, Rambam says. And Hashem is the life of the universe. Okay. Our physical body and our spiritual soul, held together by the food and drink we take in. Without nourishment of the food and drink, the soul will leave the body. Imagine. Even the soul is based on food. Why? Because the soul is based on the body. If the body is dead, the soul goes.
So it depends on what we eat, Rabbi.
We are what we eat. We talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't here yesterday. Because the Torah says by kashrut, kashrut is a chok, but it says a reason. It says, b'nit metim bam. It makes you defiled. Al titamu nafshotachem. Don't defile your souls. We see it has an effect on the soul. It changes not just the body, but also changes the soul. People don't realize that. It's called timtum alev, the impurity of the heart. It makes a person's heart, which is the mind, impure. That's why you see so many Jews, who hate Judaism, anti-Semitic Jews. They're so far away because of what the food they ate. So the food a person eats affects the person.
How do you get it back?
How do you get it back? It's very hard. So number one is it's like alcoholic. You got to purify oneself. You stop the bad and try and focus on the good.
Oh, okay.
You sort of cleanse the body out.
How long does it take?
I don't know, until all the cells have changed. How long does it take? The cells die and the cells are created. So until all the whole cells change, until the whole body now is a new, how long is that? Depends on the cell, I guess. But the bodies, all the time, you imagine, our bodies are not the same bodies that we've created with. It rejuvenates all the time. The cells are dying, and cells are created. Cells are dying, cells are created. So until that whole process has been, it's a new body now.
Wow.
It's not the same body which was sustained by non-kosher food. Mm. It's a body which is sustained by kosher food.
Is every 7 years?
I don't know. Go check.
Wow.
It's a Google
years.
Question. But I think it's different. Different limbs and different organs have different...
Wow.
I think the bones, it doesn't change. I don't know the cells of the bone, I'm not sure.
So this is like a transfusion then?
The food
coming
is like transfusion,
no,
sure.
Well,
sure.
Well, actually coming to classes and everything else.
Oh, sure, that's spiritual food.
Yeah.
We're talking about physical food. In physical food, the soul is harnessed also by the body, by the fact that the body is eating. If the body is not eating, the body dies, the soul goes away. The soul is part of us because of the eating. It's amazing. Now the food has such an effect also on the soul. It's Hashem's will that the bond between body and soul keep going. This is true, he says, for the mystical bond between God and the universe. So Rambam says the universe is like a body. It's a body and God is the soul of the universe. So if you take that analogy in body and soul to a person, body and soul of a person is kept together by the food we eat. the universe and God is kept together by the food of the universe. What is the food of the universe? What is the spiritual food of the universe? Torah and mitzvot. The Torah and mitzvot keep the universe and Hashem together. Otherwise, the universe will die. That's what it means when it says, whoever learns Torah is keeping the world alive. We're giving spiritual food and energy to the universe to last and keep the bond with God. Because if the universe dies because there's no physical spiritual food, the bond between God and the universe is dead. Is dead. Hashem, like the neshama, goes away. The neshama is forever. God is forever. But the body will die. If the body dies, there's no link between them. So there's no spiritual sustenance. There's a link between the universe and God is going to asunder. Without Torah study, mitzvot, and prayers, Hashem removes His presence from the world and it instantly would revert to nothingness. So, by the way, it happened already, but not drastic. Mm-hmm. When the temple was here, the link between man and God was tremendous, because the bond was down here. Mm-hmm. The gates of heaven, the gates of this world, were open. The energies were going right through. When the temple was destroyed, it's like when they closed the gates of a boundary wall. Closed. There's no gate anymore. Trump wants to close the gateways to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Like the gateways are closed. There's no gates, you can't go in. The entrance between heaven and earth are closed. There's no energy going between the two. Hashem removed himself from this world completely. So when the temple was destroyed, Hashem's presence was removed to a certain extent, a great degree already. So it's very important to know, when we sustain the world without Torah study, without mitzvah and prayers.
But Rabbi, there's a lot more Torah study today than probably...
Baruch Hashem. But the quality, it's not just quantity. That's a problem. Just like food. You can eat a lot of garbage food, you can eat a little bit of good food. Mm. Proteins, you have the balance. It's like in space, they don't give the astronauts garbage to eat. They give them tubes of stuff. One tube of this is equivalent to a whole meal. Why? Because they don't have room to carry all the food. So they want to make sure it's the best quality food, which is going to keep the guy fit and healthy. So too the Torah study. The Torah study. One person can be Torah study with purity and with drive and with joy, and another person is nodding off on the book. There's Torah study. There's see people in class. Some guys are wide awake, paying attention. So now one person is studying Torah, but it's two people. They're both studying Torah. Listen, I'm not denigrating, because the truth is that the fact that the person's there. Praise of those who sit in God's house.
Right.
By itself, just sitting over there, sleeping.
Yeah, but however.
But it's a different quality.
Right. And then, so one shows driven bigger, the other one doesn't.
Exactly. That's quality. Mm-hmm. So these are things, even doing mitzvot, quality is very important. In God's eyes, everything's quality.
Mm.
It's not quantity, it's quality. It's the quality of the act. Tefillah. Person prays. The guy takes 10 hours to pray. Well, how much kavanah did he have in there? How much concentration? So it's not the quantity, it's the quality. Today what we do is we make up the quality with quantity. Because in those days the prayers are much shorter, the prayer book was shorter. But the quality was terrific. Today the prayer book became longer and longer because the quality is worse. So we're trying to make up the quality with quantity. Say the Torah study. The quality of the Torah study, you can't imagine these people, the focus. The focus they had and the depth of what they had. We can't match the depth. I was talking about yesterday how the Vilna Gaon learned the Rashi. Why did Rashi substitute this word for that word? The depth. They calculated how many letters in the Torah and they worked out where the middle point is. They calculated the words of the Torah and the middle of the work. Imagine, you're learning Torah. Imagine, let me just give you a little example. The Vilna Gaon says to his students, I want you to learn Pesachim. Masechet Pesachim.
Wow.
Come to me when you know it by heart.
By heart.
So they learned the whole Masechet by heart. By heart, they heard Pesachim. They come to him, they say, Rabbi, you can test us, we know the whole book by heart. Okay. He says, how many times does it say Abaye and Rabbah? He said, what? How many times does it say two rabbis' names in the book? So what? You don't know about it, so go away. Next time they came, he puts a needle. If I put a needle through this page, all the words on this line going right through the book? Fill the Gaon.
Wow.
That's a Gaon. Gaon is?
Gaon.
Everything.
How do you pronounce it?
Gaon.
Wow.
Genius. Gaon. He's a genius.
Did he know?
Of course he knew. He knew everything. He knew everything. He was a genius from a kid. He was a kid, but it was unnatural. It was like he had amazing abilities. He was like a previous generation. But there are people like that. Look at a page and they work out the gematria of these words. It's like mathematical brains. I mean, he knew everything.
But this is how the beauty of this is that so it's constructed that way.
Yes. It's like an ocean. The Torah is like an ocean. You can keep drinking and it's never... Okay, we're going to stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. 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 Am